السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال الله تعالى: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, we are discussing a very very important subject, and that is the subject of fitnas. We are living in a time of fitnas. There is no doubt about it that we are in the time of fitnas. We do not even know from which side the fitna is lashing at us. Which fitnas have entered our lives, which fitnas have entered our homes, which fitnas have entered our businesses, which fitnas have entered our colleges and universities and schools, and which fitnas have entered even our Darul Ulooms and our Hifz classes and our Jalsas and our Dini activities. We do not know. Fitnas are coming from all sides. Sometimes it is in the form of deen, sometimes in some other way. So we have to know what is fitna and what are the different attacks of shaitan on a person. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Hujjatullah, he has discussed this at length. And in many other kitabs, and practically all the kitabs of hadith, you will find a section on fitnas. So last week we had discussed that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made a dua: Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-fitan ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Wasallam is asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from all fitnas, whether they are zahiri fitnas or batini fitnas. And we discussed what is the meaning of zahiri fitna and what is the meaning of batini fitna. That this fitna, or those fitnas which existed at that time, or those that will come till the day of Qiyamah, everything is included in zahir and batin. The person's fitnas of this world or of the akhirah. So now let us look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's reason for making this dua, and also when he says, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ فِتْنَةً فِي قَوْمٍ فَتَوَفَّنِي. O Allah, when you decide to send fitnas upon a nation, then before those fitnas come, take me away. Allah. That means it's preferable to die, preferable to be beneath the surface of the earth. That hadith sharif again comes to mind: إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ خَيَارُكُمْ وَأَغْنِيَاؤُكُمْ سُمَحَاؤُكُمْ وَأُمُورُكُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَكُمْ فَزَهْرُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِّن بَطْنِهَا. That when, إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ خِيَارَكُمْ, that when your rich people, when your rulers, when your those people who are appointed as your rulers, then they will be the best amongst you, the good ones amongst you. That means in the times that will come, if the time that you are living in, at that time, those who are appointed rulers, those who are given the reins of government in their hands, they are the good amongst you, the best amongst you. And your rich people, they are the most charitable and most generous and most kind. And all your affairs are decided by shura. Then at that time, فَزَهْرُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ مِّن بَطْنِهَا. At that time it is better to be on the surface of the earth than being beneath the earth. وَإِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ شَرَارَكُمْ. But when your umara, when your rulers, they will be the worst amongst you, the mischievous ones, the foolish ones, the greedy ones, the corrupt ones. And when the rich amongst you will become miserly, they will not give their zakat, they will not give their sadaqat, they will not spend their wealth as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have instructed and ordered. And when your affairs will be in the hands of your women, that they will be ruling. We have prime ministers of governments as women. So he says, when that will be the situation, for batnul ardi khayrum min zariha. At that time it's better to be beneath the surface of the earth than being on top. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that before these fitnas come, oh Allah, take me away. Now imagine, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he is saying that before the fitnas take me away. So for who is that? It is for the ummah at large. That we should be awake, we should be alert, and we should look into our own lives and into the lives of our children and families and around us and in our society, that if there are fitnas that have come, then we should not tolerate fitnas. We should try and eliminate fitnas with hikmat, with diplomacy, with tact, with wisdom, with good preaching, with amar bil maruf and nahi anil munkar. We must get rid of those fitnas. Not that we entertain those fitnas, we accept those fitnas, and then we say that now that is the norm of the society. If everybody is going to say, well, that is the norm, then where will deen be left after that? If all of us will say that that is the norm, if photography has become very widespread and common, well, that is the norm. Now, what is wrong with it? Nothing. Now, in our marriages, in our walimas, in our functions, in our conferences, in our seminars, everywhere, now whether our sisters are being photographed and filmed and videoed, nothing wrong because it is the norm. There's nothing really seriously wrong with it now. It means that we have now accepted it. We have tolerated it. We have accepted it. We have accommodated it. Then it means that that fitna now has deeply penetrated our lives. Whereas, either we do what the Hadith Sharif says, that man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadi, fa illam yastati' fa bilisani, wa illam yastati' fa biqalbi, wa dhalika adhaful iman. Either if we have the force, we have the power, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made us in charge, others are subordinates, then at such a time, or the person is in government, he has the power to change by force. So then he must use that force to change it. If not, then at least use the tongue. Give nasihat, give advice. And if the person doesn't even have the ability to do that, then there is no other stage beyond that, that the person considers that evil as an evil and he stays away from it. I'm just giving you an explanation that there is nothing beneath that, that there is no iman after that. That if the person does not consider the evil as evil, then it means that the person hasn't got iman. Because he is accepting the evil, he is considering it as good. Now when a person considers evil as good, then where there is iman? Again, that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that what will be your condition when you will stop calling towards good and preventing from evil? The Sahaba-i-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, will such a time come? He said, yes, and even worse than that. What will be your condition when you will invite towards evil, when you will invite towards evil, and you will stop from the doing of good? So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallam, will such a time also come? He said, yes, and even worse than that. What will be your condition when you will consider evil as good and the good as evil? So these are the fitnas that have come, that we are accepting everything that is coming from any side, especially from the Western media or Eastern media, any kind of media which propagates what we term as evil, then we just accept it, and slowly, slowly it penetrates our lives, and then we accept it as a norm. After that it becomes a norm. Nobody feels any offense, as I have mentioned many times in my bayans, that even if you have to look at the homes of we who are called Maulanas and Muftis and Qari Sahabs and Hafiz Sahabs and Haji Sahabs, if we have to go to their homes also, and those people who are in deen work and dawat and tabligh or khanqa line, whatever it may be, but go to their homes and see on a Sunday what lies around on the tables there, what kind of filthy pictures are lying around. The newspaper will say that it is a need. We have to read it to keep up to date with the business world or for some other reason what's happening around the world. Now for that reason, now it came. Now we read those articles which were to be read, but after that 80% of the articles which we are reading there, what do they really relate to? What is in there? And then what happens is after that, it is of no concern to anybody that those filthy, dirty pictures that come in those newspapers, they'll be lying around all over tables, our lounge, our bedrooms, and everybody will accept that as a norm. This is what I am saying. The fitnas, they penetrate in this way, that the person then accepts it as a norm. I've mentioned many times that if you have to, that you have got little children, we've got our wives, we've got our families, then we should have some shame, some haya, some modesty, and we should destroy those pictures first, tear up those dirty, filthy articles, even if our newspaper looks like a piece of rag, dirty, filthy, torn rag. That's better than that the angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala curse the person for such kind of things that are lying around. So this is what I'm saying, that after a period of time it becomes like accepted. Now nobody considers that as something that is serious. In fact, the person who will now tear up those pictures and his newspaper, there's hardly anything left there, he will look like the stupid and like the foolish person, like a mad person. They will say that this person has gone off his rockers. What is wrong with him? What is wrong if these pictures just lie around? Are they so sensitive that they can't allow such kind of pictures to lie around? So can you see how fitnas come and then it becomes slowly accepted as a norm? Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that before this fitnas come, Ya Allah, take me away. When the whole qawm is involved in fitna, oh Allah, take me away. So now what about us? So we know that it is not permissible to take our own lives. That is suicide, which is prohibited in Islam. However, it is our duty that to whatever extent it is possible for us to change the condition, we must try and change. Even though people may laugh, they may make mockery, they will joke. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have been called by all kinds of names and every kind of title was thrown at him, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who could have been more pious, more holy, more God-fearing, and more closer to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than him? And yet what title did they not give to him? So what is there if somebody calls us stupid, foolish, madman? Nothing. At least our connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not be affected. So that is the reason why we have to know what are fitnas and from which angle they are coming, from which side they are coming, and how they are lashing at us. Because good homes are caught up in all these type of fitnas. Isi tarah se insaan ka fitna kabhi khud uske nafs aur sadar mein, yani uski zaat aur uske dil mein hota hai. Sometimes the fitna is in the heart of the person. Kabhi uske ahl aur biwi mein hota hai. Sometimes in his wife and children. Sometimes in his wealth. Sometimes it is in the neighbors. Sometimes the fitna is in his life. And sometimes at the time of his death. Fitnas in his wealth. In fitnas all around. So now what are these fitnas and what do we mean by this? Insan ka fitna uske ahl o ayal mein ye hai, unse koi aisa qaul kahe ya aisa fail kare jo jaiz na ho. Isi tarah se ahl yani azwaj ko uske saath rehte hue koi ranj aur gham wagaira pesh aaye. Now this is the fitna of the person in his family, and in his, that the family, they say certain things or they do certain things which cause this person hurt and grief and sorrow. Now that is the fitna for this person. That in the family, somebody or the other will say something or they will do something which will cause this person hurt and grief. Or the husband will do certain things which will cause the wife injury and pain and grief and sorrow. Or the wife will do and say and blurt out certain things or utter certain statements which will cause the husband grief, pain, injury and sorrow. Now these are the fitnas. Now at such a time, to be balanced and to hold tightly to the rope of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is the Quran Sharia and the teachings of Sharia, that is not easy for everyone. So it is a fitna that will come in different forms. As I'm saying, the fitnas will come. So this is the fitna in the ahlu ayal, in the family, in the that the family, some member of the family or some member of the, or some child or someone will say something or do something. Now this person will become agitated, he'll become frustrated, it'll aggravate him, it'll make him angry. Now at that time, he will lose control of himself and he will say certain things or do certain things which will be against the Quran and against the Sunnah and against the Sharia, which means that he has gone now in the road to Jahannam and he has caught up in that fitna. Whereas it was now his duty to balance everything, to see, now in this particular situation, what does Sharia tell me to do? What is Sharia's teaching in this difficulty of mine? And then to be careful that he doesn't make statements or doesn't do anything which will now make him a zalim. Up till now he was a mazloom, or she was a mazloom, mazlooma. That either injustice was done to him or injustice was done to her. But now when he is going to overstep the mark in retaliation, then what is going to happen is now he will become zalim. And the fitna has then caught him. He is trapped. And the fitna of a person in his wealth is this, that he acquires it through wrong means and then spends it also in the wrong places. Now that is the fitna of the wealth. And this is another major fitna of the time. The person will earn through interest, he will earn through gambling, he will earn through fraud, he will earn through so many haram ways. And when that wealth is accumulated, then he will start spending also in all haram places. As the Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that from your spending I gauge how your wealth was earned. From your spending I gauge how your wealth was earned. He says if it was earned halal, then halal will not be wasted in haram places. So if there is wastage and it is going into haram places, then it means somewhere along the line there's something wrong. And I have done a small research on my own, very discreetly, without giving names or anything of that nature. But over a period of time, in my 30 years since my return, or plus minus, from India after my studies, I've been dealing with inheritance cases and this, and family problems and all kinds of problems. So wherever I found that a person had to spend plenty of money at the courts of law, or his money started going in gambling, in this haram and that haram, then discreet investigations revealed that somewhere along the line that wealth did not come in a halal way. For example, the son is now righteous, pious, he changed his whole lifestyle, he wants to go straight. But what he inherited from his father, and the father inherited from his father, that means this person's grandfather. So he is sometimes not aware that their grandfather had taken the property of the widows, of the orphans, something that was not rightfully belonging to him. He accumulated it, and then he made a will, and it was passed on to his children. Then the children, when they received it, somewhere along the line, one son, one daughter, or somebody goes off beat, and then the wealth starts going. It starts getting spent in haram places. The grandchildren, somewhere it goes wrong. So if you have to see and check, then from somewhere along the line, it was not halal. In most cases, I found that. Therefore, when somebody tells me that, Maulana, when I was not making namaz, when I was going to the cinemas and theaters and watching all kinds of filth, at that time my business was prospering and progressing. And afterwards when I went straight, I started making namaz, making tawbah, istighfar and dua, then I found that everything started sliding, going downwards. So how can that happen? So it's a way that is detoxification, detoxifying your system. Just as the system, we know that when there's plenty of germs in there, then the doctors, they give you laxative. Wow. They say you must clean out the system. Because if you're going to give you multivitamins and health foods, then it is not going to help you. In fact, it is going to strengthen the sickness and illness in your body. So first they must be laxative to clear out the dirt from your system. Thereafter, if you take health food, it is going to help you. In the same way, this person, the wealth that has come in through these sources. So now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sees that this servant of mine, he wants to change his life, he wants to come closer to me, he wants to gain my ma'rifat and yaqeen and muhabbat. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala starts taking away. Now this person makes sabr, he makes an effort, he makes dua, and after some time, then again you see Allah Ta'ala will bring him up. So many cases I have seen like that. So this is what we mean by the fitna in the person's wealth. That the person's wealth, it is a big fitna. It's a great blessing too, and it's a great fitna too. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked for protection from the fitna of wealth. He didn't say that wealth itself is a fitna. Wealth is a good thing. If it is in the hands of a good person, it has been earned in a halal way. But it can bring a lot of fitnas with it. If the person doesn't have deen, doesn't have iman, doesn't have yaqeen, doesn't have knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, then it can bring a lot of fitnas. And people will not even know whether it has come through a halal source or it has come through a haram source. So this is the fitna in the person's wealth. There will be details afterwards. The next one is fitna in the person's children. The fitna in the person's children is this: وَفِي وَلَدِهِ لِفَرْتِ الْمُحَبَّةِ وَالشُّغْلِ بِهِ أَنْ كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. That the person, because of his extreme love for his children, it is natural. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put love into the hearts of the parents for the children. If the person doesn't have love for his children, then there is something wrong. So this muhabbat Allah Ta'ala puts into the heart. If Allah Ta'ala did not put this muhabbat into the heart of the mother, that mother would not have got up 10 times in the night to change that baby's napkin who has got diarrhea. It is Allah Ta'ala who has put that muhabbat into that mother's heart. But the fitna of those children is this, that in that extreme love that the person has for those children, he forgets Allah and his Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In trying to please them, he goes overboard. Then he provides for them those things which are haram. Then he will take them to those institutions which it is haram to take them to, for example, any gambling institution. Then if the children say that we want to go to the cinema, he will say, yes, how much do you require? There's the money, take it and go. If the children say we want to go to the theater, if the children say we want to buy this movie or that film, or we want to watch this movie or that film, then they say, yes, take the money and go. Because the person has got so much of love for his child, that he says that I must not break the heart of my child, irrespective of breaking the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. If that can break, but my child's heart must not break. So now this is the fitna in the children, that you must love your children, but that love of those children must not exceed the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Ha, what a warning Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that you must announce. Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi said, announce, tell them that if your fathers and if your children, abnaukum, and if your brothers, and if your families, washiratukum, and if that wealth which you have accumulated, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِخْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, and those businesses in which you fear losses, and وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا, those homes which are very pleasing to you, which you like and to live in and reside in, وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, are more beloved to you than Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in striving in His path, then you must wait for Allah Ta'ala's order to come to pass. Allah Ta'ala is not saying don't love your children, don't love your homes, don't love your properties and your wealth and your fathers and your mothers and your family members. Have love for everyone, but it must not exceed the love of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that is the fitna, that when the person has got such love for his children, that now he does not care what he is providing them. And afterwards then they sit and cry. At that time they say, our children are saying that our neighbors have got these movies and they are watching these films and they are going to these places and we are being deprived of it. So it is hurting our children. It is breaking their heart. So therefore we want to take them with. Now when they provide that, and some people say that if they are not going to give it to them in our home, then they will go to the neighbor's home. So that means if the neighbor's home is providing drugs, so you rather give them drugs in your home. If the neighbor's home has got poison, and they will go and drink poison there, so we rather give them poison in our home. What we should do is give them something better in return. Don't deprive them, but give them something better in return. My Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakeem Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he says that if a child says that buy me this toy, which is an animate object, so now instead of buying the toy, teddy bear for example, so now the child is crying, say I want this teddy bear. So if the teddy bear is costing 50 rand, then buy something for 100 rand. Make the child happy, but explain to the child why you do not want to buy that. Some musical instrument the child is crying for. So instead of buying that, you buy some train set or you buy something else. The wife is saying, I must have a television. She says, well, instead of a 1500 rand, 2000 rand television set, I will give you 3000 rand, go and buy a set of jewelry or some bangles or anything that pleases you and makes you happy. But give it. Don't be miserly. Give it. Make them happy and explain to them that the spiritual harm, the moral harm, the physical harm, look at the different types of harm that is being caused. But yet, we will say, no, we want to please them. But in reality, it is not pleasing them, it's pleasing our own nafs. That is that fitna. That the person is caught up in a fitna, that he is giving preference to his wife and his children over the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is that fitna. So the fitna of the children is this, that the person has so much of love for them, that he is deprived of a lot of good because of that love that he has now got for the children. It is exceeding the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes his namazes are going. Now he's earning, he's working 24 hours of the day. The person is working from the morning till the evening. His zuhr goes, his asr goes, his maghrib goes. And when we ask, if we have to ask that person why, then he says, no, the children, you see, our children, we have to bring food home. So now for the food's sake, for the children's sake, now he says his namazes are going. So that is that fitna, that the person doesn't realize that by missing those namazes, he will soon create problem for those children. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when his azab will come, then the person will be deprived of rizq. When he will be deprived of rizq, so he will be causing a problem for those children. Whereas if he created piety in the children, and he himself observed the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will give barakat in his rizq. So we do not even know which direction we are going in. That which was supposed to be a cure, we are considering it as a sickness. And that which was a sickness, we are considering it as a cure. Whereas that is the direction that we should go in if we want to really make provisions for our children, for our family, and not only for our own family and children, but for 7 generations, because that is the Hadith Sharif. If a father is pious and righteous, if he's got deen and he's got iman and he's got taqwa and he's got piety, if the father has it, 7 generations will eat from there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give 7 generations. So what is the correct thing to do? That adopt taqwa, eat, drink, earn, but don't go towards haram. And then the fitna of the person's neighbor. Whose car is that? If you've got your, you can recognize your alarm, then switch it off. Then the fitna of the person's neighbor. What is the fitna of the person's neighbor? The fitna of the person's neighbor is this, that the neighbor desires those things which his neighbor has. The person desires those ni'mats which Allah Ta'ala has blessed his neighbor with. But at the same time he desires that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must deprive the neighbor of that. He must snatch it away, he must destroy it. In other words, the person is filled with jealousy. So that is the fitna of the neighbor, that the neighbor has got jealousy in his heart, he's got envy in his heart, and he wants to see the destruction of those ni'mats which Allah Ta'ala has blessed his neighbor with. Now that neighbor word, we can take it very far. So this is a fitna that the person must seek protection from, that, oh Allah, do not give me a neighbor who will be jealous and envious because the neighbor knows exactly what the neighbor has. He will see the car of the neighbor. He will sometimes even see the wife of the neighbor. He will see the children of the neighbor. He will see the business and the business of the neighbor, or he knows what business he is in, what profession he is in. So because the neighbor is close and he knows everything, so therefore this is another fitna from which we have been asked to seek protection. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his rahmat for the ummah, that he wants to see us protected from all kinds of fitnas. But whilst he is mentioning that this is a fitna, that the neighbor will desire, the neighbor desires, or as we are learning from this, that amongst the fitnas is the fitna of the neighbor. Or Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned that, Imam Ghazali has mentioned that. So just as we are saying that it is a fitna that the neighbor is jealous and envious, that is a fitna, and we must seek protection, then at the same time it is an instruction and it is a direction and it is a command and it is a teaching for us that you too should not be envious and jealous of that which Allah Ta'ala has blessed your neighbor with. If every person makes his islah, that why should I be envious and jealous of what Allah Ta'ala has given my neighbor, and he also says the same thing, that why should I be envious and jealous of what my Allah has given my neighbor, why should not I seek it from Allah Ta'ala, then can there be any problem? Again, that I don't know how many times you must have heard it, but if it comes to mind at a particular juncture and moment, then it is from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is that beautiful couplet. If only we can keep it in front of us, especially when it comes to jealousy. Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Why are you burning yourself in this fire of hasad? People are going to taweez makers to do something, destroy this person's life. He must lose his job. His marriage must terminate. He must fight and quarrel and argue with his children. And they're going and actually asking them that do something if you. Why? Jealousy. Nothing else but jealousy. I've spoken at length on jealousy in so many talks. So he said, Hasad ki aag mein tum kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? You're unhappy about the distribution that Allah Ta'ala has made. Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos tum kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you rubbing your palms in regret? Who has distributed it? Who gave the beauty to people? Who gave wealth to people? Who gave health to people? Who gave sight? Who gave color? Everything is blessed by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Who gives intelligence? Who gives memory? Every ni'mat is a gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So why are we unhappy with what Allah Ta'ala has distributed? And will it help us in any way? It's not going to help us in any way. By being unhappy with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's distribution, Allah Ta'ala will not take everything and give it to us. Allah has got great wisdom and hikmah in keeping somebody rich and somebody poor. If everybody was rich, if everybody was a king, and every woman was a queen, then that famous saying, agar tu hai raja aur main hu rani, to ab kaun bharega pani? See, if everybody is raja and everybody rani, then who's going to fill the water? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got great wisdom in making some rich, some poor. Some will be rulers, some will be subjects, some will be intelligent, some will be not so intelligent. This great wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Otherwise the nizam of the world, it is not going to function. But why should we be jealous of that which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has distributed? So it's a fitna. If the person has got a neighbor, or has got a friend, or he has got a family member, or he has got a client, or he's got anybody who is jealous and envious, or he's got somebody in the same profession or in the same business, and that person is jealous and envious and he's burning himself up, then it is a fitna, because that jealousy could soon lead him to causing harm to this neighbor of his, and it will make him excited and happy when he sees some kind of harm befall that neighbor. This neighbor now, who was supposed to be the one, according to the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so much of emphasis was placed on the rights of the neighbor that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if feared that that the neighbor would get some share even in the inheritance. So now that neighbor, now if he is becoming so jealous and so envious, then it's a fitna. So it is, and that is what we mean by the fitna of the neighbor, that the neighbor has got jealousy, malice in his heart against his neighbor. Then he will go around reporting to the receiver of revenue that I saw my neighbor pulling out a new car. I saw my neighbor, or my neighbor went 3 times or 4 times overseas this year. So where did he get the money from? Now who reports all this? The same people. And who is the closest parosi these days? It is the wife. So if that wife is divorced, then she is the first one to report. And it is the truth. The wives are now informing the receiver of revenue that where the uplang money was kept. They are informing the receiver of revenue. So that is the fitna. It's a fitna from which we must seek protection. The fitna of the person in this world is that he is faced with different kinds of trials. Different kinds of trials. That is the fitna in this world. And the fitna at the time of death is that shaitan comes and starts whispering. Shaitan comes at the time of death and he creates doubts in the person's minds. He even makes the person question the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala at the time of his death. So many people, they left this world without iman because in the last stages of their life they fell for the whisperings of shaitan. So again, to seek protection, therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sought protection from this fitna also at the time of death. And it is for the ummah that shaitan will come at that time also. He's not going to give up until the last moment that he will try. He will make an effort that this person leaves without iman. But if that person made an effort throughout his life to remain steadfast on iman and made plenty of istighfar and tawbah over his shortcomings and weakness, and he made his namazes and he kept on doing those things which Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered, then there is great hope, inshallah, that that person will also live with iman. Inshallah. As the person lives, he will die. And as he dies, he will be raised on the day of Qiyam. So if that person lived a life of piety, taqwa, zuhud, sabr, shukr, then inshallah, at the time of his death also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make him, will protect him from the attacks of shaitan. One wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they were telling him to read the kalima at the time of his sakarat. Now they are telling him, read the kalima, which is not the correct thing to do. You don't tell the person, read the kalima. Just read, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. If the person is conscious and reads it even once, it is sufficient. And if he doesn't read it too, we do not know in what state he is, but inshallah, if he left with iman, then he will be forgiven. So now here they were telling him, read, read. So he was shaking his head, no, no, no. So when he was shaking his head and saying no, so they got very concerned that here we are telling this wali of Allah Ta'ala, and we all his life we knew him as a wali, and now he's saying no, no, no. So when he gained consciousness, then they said, but when we're asking you to say the kalima, then you're making no, shaking your head. So he says, no, at that time I was not telling you. Shaitan was telling me that you saved yourself. You are taking your iman and you are going. You are very fortunate. So I was telling him, no, not yet. So Shaitan was whispering and telling me that you are very fortunate that you are leaving this world now with iman and you saved yourself from my attacks and from my clutches. So I was telling him, no, not yet, not yet, not yet, because I'm still breathing. Look at that. I'm still breathing, so I do not know the last few moments what's going to happen. So don't mislead me now, because it's not yet. When I leave the world, I'm gone with iman, then I know I'm saved from your clutches. So this is the thing, that shaitan even makes an effort at the time of the person's death, that he must leave this world without iman. So that is another fitna at the time of death. So the fitna in the person's wealth, the fitna in the person's neighbors, the fitna in the person's the children, the fitnas in the person's wife and his family, all these are the fitnas. And then another fitna is that the person, when difficulties, when trials come upon him, then he loses the garment of sabr. He loses patience and he is tempted into taking his life. It's another fitna. There are so many people who say that we can't take it anymore. We can't take it anymore. We'd rather take our lives. My own ears have heard so many women on the phone when they are going through depression and all kinds of problems, and so many husbands, then they will say that, I'd rather take my life. And not, it's not only just the what they say, but we have read, we have heard, and we have seen how people in frustration, when they cannot take the pressures of life, then they either take their own life or they will shoot their wives and children and shoot themselves to go. So it's a fitna that we must ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection. That, oh Allah, do not send upon me such kind of calamities, trials and tests that I cannot bear, that I lose the garment of patience, that I lose my sabr, and that I contemplate suicide or taking my life or the life of my children. It is another fitna. Trials will come. It came upon Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, came upon the Sahaba-e-Kiram, came upon all the pious and righteous ones. It will come upon everybody. But at that time, to be patient and to hold on firmly to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, that is the duty of a Muslim. As I have explained many a times, that when a trial comes upon a person, and at that time he doesn't become restless, the pain will be in the body, poverty because of that, now there's no food, there will be hunger, there will be thirst. But the person believes that I am doing what I had to do. I am making my namazas, I am keeping my fast, I am spending correctly, I am earning correctly, and whatever has to be done, I am doing. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give that person sabr in his heart. And then it will be like that examiner who has set a very difficult paper. But afterwards he tells the candidate that now you give your hand into my hand and I will write the answers for you. So if he does that, then what is difficult? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will send those trials and he himself will give sabr. Because Allah ta'ala wants to show who is his ashik and who is not his ashik. We are ashiks of just halwa and paratha, that's all. If it's halwa, biryani, then we are ashik of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Good health, plenty of wealth, then alhamdulillah, shukar Allah, shukar of Allah. Allah is very kind and very merciful. But little difficulty, little test, little trial, little hardship, and then we start complaining one way of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is another fitna, that the person begins to contemplate suicide or taking the life of his wife or his children or his family or some friend or the other because he cannot bear the trials and the tests. So this is another fitna from which we should be seeking protection. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blesses me with life and the opportunity to continue, then next week the same time inshallah we'll continue. The zikr program on Thursday will also be at the same time, so that we can finish by Isha and then you can go home and come for Fajr Salat. So try and make some adjustment to the eating time. One day in a week, what difference will it make if we have to just have our meals after Asr or just one or two slices of bread and come away and then go and eat after Isha? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Ay Allah, hamare gunahon ko maaf farma, saghira kabira, amadan khata'an zahiri batini, har gunah ko maaf farma. Ay Allah, har fitne se hamari hifazat farma. Ay Allah, har fitne se hamari hifazat farma. Jaan mein jo fitna ho, maal ka fitna, ay Allah, zuban ka fitna, اے اللہ اولاد کا فتنہ، اہل و عیال کا فتنہ، اے اللہ جدھر سے بھی فتنہ آ رہا ہو ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ ہم سب کو صحت دے، عافیت دے، سلامتی دے، عزت دے، راحت دے، مغفرت دے، جنت دے. اے اللہ تیرا قرب دے، اے اللہ تیرا قرب دے، نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی سچی محبت اور اطاعت دے. اے اللہ، حضور علیہ السلام نے جتنے خیر کا سوال کیا وہ تمام خیر ہمیں نصیب فرما، اور جتنے شرور و فتن سے پناہ مانگی ہمیں پناہ نصیب فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.